All right. Shalom, everybody. Erev Tov. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. You hear that crowd? Wish. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord told me not to be bad at people when I see other Christians doing stuff that they're not supposed to be doing. Don't be mad at them. Just do what you're supposed to do and praise and stay in your word.
Amen.
So I have only three letters, and I really want to just kind of speak on them, and then we're going to move on into this message, which I hope you got on your email. I'm going to try to make this message as simple as possible, even if you're not a Hebrew student, but because I want you to know the date that we're looking at and how little time there is looking forward to it. Then I want you to hear the Bible study and determine in your mind if this is what God is showing you as well, because I really want to show it to you in Scripture what God has done, because he's basically planned the whole situation of human life, right? And he planned Israel to be back in the land in 1948. He planned for his son to come and die on the cross. But all these things that happen, if you go into Scriptures, you'll see that all of these things happen perfectly and right on time according to the way the Bible said it would, okay?
Amen.
So let's pray in. Did I pray yet?
Not yet.
Let's pray in and then let's get started. All right. Abba, Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach, Anachnu Telefim. We just want to thank you, Father God, for this evening. We want to thank you, Father God, for our whole family, Father God. Those here in Long Beach and those that are all around the world, Father God, in Canada, and I can't name so many countries, Father God, that the word is going out and preparing people to leave, Father God, and preparing people to be a part of what you're doing and not be so concerned with what the world's doing. I thank you, Father God, for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you lead and guide me, Father God, as we explain this great plan of yours to the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I haven't been this excited in a while, but so I want to really get started. But first, I want to thank Yini for her card. I love it. This is it's a much nicer place. She sends me. You can send me this card a million times. This is her card for me, and I hope they don't run out of them. The world is a much nicer place when people like with. When people are like you, people who bring so much joy by special things they do. And the first time she sent me this card, I almost started crying because I was like, God was like, now there's a miracle right there. Somebody's thanking God for you being in the world. You know what I mean? Only me and the Lord know of days that there were people that was like, I wish there were less people like you in the world.
Mm.
So I thank you, Yini. And also, she got the crosses that I sent.
Oh,
I had Pastor Ben mail them out because I kept saying, oh, I'm gonna mail these to Yini. I have these crosses, I want her to have them. And I said it about 6 weeks until I just said, here, Pastor Ben. So I thank Pastor Ben for doing that for me. I appreciate it. And then I have from Deborah Otterburn, and I don't know if I say her name right, but she sent me this really cool, kind of look like Long Beach, huh?
Oh, that is.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful card. And Deborah says, thanks is not enough, but you're all in our prayers daily. It was only God who directed me to find this church. I feel at home. This wasn't easy for me to find a home church. I'm so happy to be your pastor, Deborah. God bless you. I will be glad to meet you at the cloud party.
Yeah.
Yes, it will. I was practicing some dance moves today.
Dance moves.
Because the Lord had me up last night talking to me, so I was like, I'm gonna practice my dance move because the Lord hasn't had me explaining stuff to me like this in a while. So I'm like, let me practice some dance moves. I don't want to get there and forget how to do the double bump. You know, because you can do that. Y'all don't know nothing about that. All right, God bless you. And thank you. You know the double bump?
I think I know.
Yeah, there's the bump and then there's the double bump. But and then I have this from David. Let me put my glasses on. This is the last one, you guys. We're going to get started. This is from David Siegel, and he's from Bluefield, West Virginia. Now, in David's letter to me, you know what he says? He says, your Hebrew is good, I know, because he grew up as an Orthodox Jew.
Wow.
And he did his bar mitzvah when he was 13, and I was taught not to mention the name of Jesus. Wow, they told him, don't mention the name of Jesus. I never did, and went on to have a wild and very crazy life. I won't get into details. I'm going to read this whole letter when I get home later tonight because I just know this is going to make me feel good. Oh, you left your number. So that's good. I get to call you. I talked to Lewis and his wife Dawn the other day. So that was a blessing too. So if you put your number on here, that means, is this okay to call me, Pastor Sandy? And because I'm going to do it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Hallelujah. I got to read that letter. So, I have something. This message tonight is really to the nation of Israel and really to all the people that are in the world, okay? Because when time is this short and the Lord's coming is this close, it seems like the world does a big deal on trying to get you focused on other stuff. They even started back sports, you know, and now people are watching sports and they forget about God and all the other craziness. Last night, the presidential, I don't even call it a debate, yelling fest. The presidential yelling fest happened last night. And that was pretty awesome just to watch too. Like Grumpy Old Men, that's what that, it reminded me of the movie Grumpy Old Men. You remember that? They'd just be yelling at each other. You let me talk. No, you let me talk. You whippersnapper. You know, so, I was like, I am very much not interested in the American president because I don't really live here.
Right.
I'm leaving and I will be back when they get it together and Jesus is king here.
Amen.
But I'm not very interested, although if I have to vote, I would vote for Donald Trump and I'll tell you why. But let me first read this letter.
Shalom from Hong Kong.
Shalom, Hong Kong. God bless you guys and all over the world. This letter is what the Lord had me to write. And it says, Le Ami, it's in Hebrew, Le Ami, Shene Bacharti, Israel, Smai Vavakasha, Hazman Khan, Zman Hamashiach, Kol Ha'olam Cholek Lashonot Hashana. Ane Yodia Atim Lo Rotze Yashua Hanazarin Yehi Melek Shelechem, Mashiach Shelechem, Zman Hazara shel Yaakov magia bekarov. Ze hazman lachabel et hamalak ha imeti shelechem Yeshua Hamashiach melek le Israel melek et haolam kulu. Hakol havarim sheli be Israel. Im ata medeber ivrit, or at medeberet ivrit, ואנגלית תרגים בשבילי בבקשה המסור רצני והחשוב. Hallelujah. I didn't do as bad as I thought I did. I would. And what I just said is to the chosen people of God, Israel, please listen. The time is here. The time of the Messiah is here. The whole world is going to change this year. Kol ha'olam holek leshanot ha'shanah. This year is going to change. And it says, I know that you don't want Jesus, the Nazarene, to be your king and your Messiah. But the time of Jacob's trouble is here. Now is the time to accept your true king. Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Israel, King of the entire world. Then I said to all my friends in Israel, if you speak Hebrew and you speak English, please interpret this for us so that other people, and I'm talking about this message that I'm going to give right now, okay? I need you to let other Jewish people know that the time of the true Messiah is here, and it brings about the trouble in Israel. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. And because you're Jewish doesn't mean you have to miss the rapture. You can accept Yeshua. Paul will be there. He's Jewish. They'll all tell you. You can believe in Jesus and still be Jewish. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Shalom, Spain. Okay. Now, this is what the Lord was giving me this morning. He said, what is going on in the world does not have the importance of what is about to happen in heaven and how it's going to affect the earth. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Right now, worldwide pandemic. That's important to the world. Or I called it plandemic or scamdemic, but the Lord said the worldwide pandemic, he said that's important to the world. He said, but to the people in heaven, they are waiting for the marriage supper and they're waiting for the church to arrive, and their anticipation is God's plan. Worldwide race wars and division, Antifa, Black Lives Matters. Listen, it says planned worldwide fires are attacks against humans. They're burning up homes and properties of many people. He said these are attacks against human beings. Manipulated tornadoes and earthquakes worldwide. These are attacks against human beings. Pedophilia arrests. Donald Trump just allocated $100 million for housing pedophile victims after rescue and to fight against human trafficking and child pedophilia.
Amen.
And if I was ever a Tim Tebow fan, I am now a great Tim Tebow fan, because he was at the meeting that they had, and I didn't know that Tim Tebow and their family have a rescue home for people who have been victimized by trafficking.
Wow.
His father, his dad was in a remote place, and someone was selling four girls, and he paid all the money that he had in his pocket and bought all four of the girls. And he said, he called his son, Tim Tebow, and said, hey, I just bought four girls and I don't know what to do. He said, bring them home. We're going to get a house and we're going to make sure they have a place to live, and we're going to start a rescue house. And so he says, dad's been going back ever since, buying girls out of trafficking and bringing them to the house so that they can raise them. And so I'm telling you, trafficking is an ugly thing that's in the world, and I like it. It's called the rescue mission Tim Tebow is doing, and they're saying that not on our watch. We should not allow child trafficking to happen on our watch, okay? But $100 million Donald Trump has allocated toward making sure that the fight continues, okay? And it says, Yet with all of this going on in the world, the Lord says, yet with all of this going on, of this is a small view of what is coming. He said it is a small thing to what is coming to the world. all of that that's going on, he said, is a small thing to what is going is about to happen in the world. Heaven is rejoicing for the church. Right now, heaven is rejoicing over the church. They know you're coming.
Yeah.
You guys know that? Heaven knows you're coming. Do you know that? This is what the Lord's letting me know this morning. He said, heaven knows you're coming and they're rejoicing. Okay? And he says, the 7 years or more. Oh, he says, yet after the church leaves, he says, there will be at least 7 more years of death, violence, corruption than people can take. So it's going to be very bad. And people who have rejected Jesus, the Lord says, you don't have a clue what you're doing or what you're about to experience. So it's time to wake up. We're on short days. It takes a repentance and acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for you to escape what you really don't understand or have a clue how bad the world is going to be, okay? It says the scripture he gave them that men's hearts will fail them just thinking about what's coming upon the world, okay? So we are close. I am very happy. And I am very excited that God is showing me this wonderful new thing. So I want us to go to Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to be in my New King James Version because I was reading NIV today, and like I said, I read it sometimes, and then sometimes I want to burn it. But like I said, I don't trust any English interpretation. I really just go with the Hebrew. Are you there in the book of Revelation chapter 20? Okay. How many days did it take God to create the world? Who said 7? Did you say 7? Okay, 6. All right. Because whoever said 7 gets put in a headlock. All right. So it took God 6 days to create the world. Then what did God do on the 7th day?
He rested,
okay, on the 7th day. Now that was a model of what God is going to do in the world, right? Because he said, for 6,000 years, I'm going to work. And then I'm going to take a 1,000-year millennial break. And millennial means 1,000, right?
Yeah.
So he's going to take a 1,000-year break. But now, 1,000 years to God means what? One day. Yeah. So in basic, God has had the world on a 6,000-year plan. And he's planning on taking a 1,000-year vacation, okay? Where there'll be no demons or no sin that he has to deal with. He will be reigning right here on earth in Jerusalem from the temple, okay?
Yeah.
That he's going to build, not the one that Donald Trump's going to build. Or maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to get a hold of that whole thing because he can leave too if he really wants to.
Right.
I don't know how deep he is into that, but that's some weird stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So, in Revelation chapter 20, we're talking about here the 1,000-year millennium, okay? Now, a lot of people don't know something happens after the 1,000 years. Christ reigns and rules on the earth for 1,000 years, okay? So that's the 7,000th year, right? So then now the 8,000th year is going to begin, and then God is going to do something completely new, right?
Yeah.
So this is not a 6,000-year plan. And some people say, oh, it's a 7,000-year plan. No, it's actually an 8,000-year plan because 8,000 is going to get God back to doing it, to making everything brand new, okay? So let's read here for a second, and then we'll try to explain this whole thing tonight. Okay. We're going to read Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 9. Then I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were fulfilled. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat them and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection of the living. Okay? Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, understand, you're going to be reigning and ruling with Christ on earth for 1,000 years. We reached 6,000 in 2017, and we're watching God's plan right now as he plans this wedding. But Jesus has already worked his 6 days, okay? And now we're waiting for this tribulation to begin. Verse 7, it says, now when the 1,000 years expire, Satan will be released from his prison. You hear that? So after the 1,000 years, Satan will be released from it, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is the sand of the sea. They went up on the face of the earth, or some of them say they went up on the breadth of the earth. So listen what it says. When Satan is released, Gog and Magog come up on the surface of the earth. So where were they for the 1,000 years? And who's coming up from the earth? Gog is a demon king, and those demons are his followers. They come up on the earth. You understand? They come up on the earth to attack the children of God. Now watch this. Now, I was reading this in the Greek because I like to study in the, and the NIV did not say they come up on the earth. It just says they dwelt upon, they. But the Greek, the original Greek says they came up from the abyss onto the earth and came to attack the people of God. Okay? Now watch this. It says, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Well, that was a short war. And the devil who was deceived was thrown into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, and he's tormented day and night forever. Okay? Now, listen, I want us to go to the board, okay? Because this is important that we understand this. Because I'm also going to read 21, verse 1 through 3. Okay? So, this all began here, because God created the earth and then he put it on a 6,000-year plan. And then salvation, it will come after the sixth day, okay? Because after the sixth day, which was 2017, with 3 days after the sixth day, everything happens on the third day, right? Resurrection, Israel back in the land, all this stuff. Okay, so for 6,000 years, then we got to 2017, and then now, You get to the 6,000 years. So from 6,001 to 7,000, we will reign and rule with Christ on the earth. You understand? If you, once you get raptured, then when Christ returns and rescues the nation of Israel and destroys Satan, you come back with him. He's on a horse in front of you, and guess who's on white horses behind him? You are. So if you like riding horses, you'll love this. Now, so now you come for this whole 1,000-year period, Satan is locked up in chains in Hades, okay? And so Christ rules for 1,000 years. At the end of this 7,000 years, it says Satan is released from his chains. And he and his followers come up upon the earth and surround God's people to destroy him, but God destroys him. Okay? Now, after that, let's look and read what happens after Satan is thrown into the lake of fire and God rescues us from that. In chapter 21, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I saw John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So the new, we watch the old earth disappear. We watch the sky that we see now disappear. There's no more room for it anymore. Okay? There's no more sea. Hey, Sharon. And all this disappears, right? Now, then we see the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Wow. So a whole brand new thing has started. You understand? This is brand new. This is the beginning of what? The 8,000th year. So God's plan is to get back to a new beginning, a new paradise. And then it says, God is now going to live amongst men. You no longer need the sun or the moon for light. God lives amongst men for the 1,000 years, okay? So this is a 8,000 year plan, but the 8,000th year is a new beginning. You understand? Okay, yeah. Hallelujah. I want you to know and understand that, because it stays on that pattern. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 46, verse, I guess, 9 and 10. Isaiah chapter 46. Hallelujah. Isaiah 46. Let's start reading verse 8. It says, "Remember this, fix it in your mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things of those long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning." Now, I put that scripture on this paper because he says, "I make known the end from the beginning." He uses the word acharet, which means the same as the Lador HaAcharon, the last generation, okay? So he's saying, "I'm making known the latter days or the end days before the beginning," okay? So he's gonna tell you about what's gonna happen in the end first before he tells you about the beginning, all right? So this is what he does. He says, declaring the end from the beginning. So he declares the end, then he declares the beginning. This is what the Lord was showing to me last night. God showed the whole world the end first, okay? And after he showed us the end, then he started prophesying about the beginning. Okay? So now watch this. It says, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all that I please. God is watching over his word. Okay. Now, do you see on your board or in your notes, I have placed up here the new Hebrew calendar. This is since the change. God made Nisan the first month of the year. Okay. And God made Heshvan the eighth month of the year. Okay. Now, the calendar was completely different before, but God changed it because he wants to tell you the end first. Okay. And then he'll tell you what. Verse 3. Now listen to this, because what is he doing now? He wants to show you how the world's going to end. And he says, I'm going to show you that first. Okay? Now this is what he's going to show you. He says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So it says, in the future, God has counted 120 years, and he's saying in 120 years in the future is going to be how the world's going to end. So right now he's showing you the end first, because he wants to show you how the end is going to take place. How is the end going to take place? In the latter days, in the end, I'm going to count off 120 years. And when I count off the 120 years, I have a date that has been planned for me to rescue 8 out of the world. Okay? So, stay with me, you guys. So, here we are in Genesis, and God has declared that the end is going to come in a 120-year count. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 7. Verse 11. And it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heaven were open, and the rains fell on the earth for 40 days and for 40 nights. Okay? So now he's telling you, after 120 years, who's going to count the 120 years? God. After the 120 years, after God counts 120 years, but in the latter generation, in the end times. So God is telling you, in the end times, I'm going to count off 120 again. I'm going to count 120 years once again. And at the end of that, I'm going to start a new beginning the same way that I'm doing, showing you right now. Here it is. So, in the 120th year, in the 17th day, on the second month, okay, flood began. He said, that's how the end's going to be. Okay? So what was the second month? What was the second month at that time? Because we see now that the second month is Iyar. What was the second month at that time? The second month at that time was Heshvan, which is now the eighth month. Okay? So why would God flip the calendar so that what used to be the second month is now the eighth month? Why? Because it's a prophecy. The spirit of the word of God is prophecy. I'm prophesying to you about the coming end times. You understand? I'm telling you the end before I tell you the beginning. The end is going to end in the eighth month on the 17th day. Okay? Now, Before we can say that comes true, we have to look at, did God prophesy the beginning? And when he prophesied the beginning, did it come true on the exact day that God said it would come true? Okay? And so this is the end. We'll get back to the end, okay? Let's go to Genesis chapter 8. Here's a prophecy about the beginning, okay? Because it says in chapter 8, verse 4, I'll start reading in verse 3. It says, the waters receded steadily from the earth. And it says, at the end of 150 days, the waters had gone down. And on the 17th day, there we go with the 17th day again, of the month, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. But it came to rest when? On the seventh month. So he says, on the seventh month, on the 17th day, the ark's going to come to a rest on Mount Ararat. And what does Ararat mean? Reverse the month of Nisan, because right now the month of Nisan is, he says, in the month of Nisan, in the future, I'm going to reverse the curse on the 17th. Did he do that? Because, okay, let's look and see if he did that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. This is when God changed the calendar. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. So now, on the 10th day of the month of Nisan, each family goes out and gets a lamb. Okay? I told you on Sunday, when Jesus came down into Jerusalem on the donkey, that was the 10th of Nisan. So the lamb had arrived. So what do you know is going to happen 4 days later? Watch this. Let's go down to verse 6. Take care of them, what, the lambs, until the 14th day of the month, when all of the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. So on the 4 days later, they all killed their lambs at twilight. So now, since they killed the lamb at twilight, that means now that God is planning something to happen in the month of Nisan. When? On the 17th day. Because if the lamb dies on the 14th, and we know the true victory is him resurrecting, then he resurrects when? On the 17th. So that means that God planned the 17th to be the victorious day, okay? But that's the beginning. That's the beginning of salvation. When Jesus Christ resurrected, that was the beginning of victory and salvation for us all. I told you the end first. What was the end? The end is, in the month of Heshvan, I'm going to rescue 8, and judgment is going to come up on the world as I rescue 8. But I tell you that's going to happen in the month of Heshvan, but I say it's going to happen on the 17th as well. Why is God saying the 17th has to be this great day? Well, first of all, 17 is a very important number, right? 17 is the 153 fish. 17 is Tov, which means good, and God is good. And 17 is also the division of 9 and 8, which is judgment and salvation or new beginning at the same time. So God, God wants to do this on the 17th. It's his day, because 17 is, 10 is perfect order and 7 is spiritual perfection. Yeah. 17 is God's number, okay? So God has planned the end on the 17th, and he planned what? The beginning on the 17th. This is how I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to reverse the curse by having a lamb die and resurrect on the 17th. That's how I'm going to begin salvation. Oh, this is how I'm going to end the salvation that is provided to the world. I'm going to provide an ark on the land with one door to enter in. And on the 17th of Heshvan, the eighth month, I'm going to rescue on the 17th. Now, one of these prophecies has already come true. Unless you think Jesus Christ resurrected on the 25th, or you think he resurrected on the 4th, but according to scripture, Jesus Christ resurrected on the exact same day that Genesis said he would. He reversed the curse when? On the exact same day that God said he would. How do you plan from 4,000 years, the beginning, Jesus comes 4,000 years later and dies on the exact same day that God says he's going to die. And they arrest him on the exact same day that they have to arrest him. Because if they would have arrested him 2 days earlier, this wouldn't work out.
Right.
And he arrives in Jerusalem. Now, he knew what he was doing, because Jesus knew that he was the lamb. So you know what he said? Go get a donkey and bring the donkey to me. Put a cloak on it, and I'm going to parade myself into Jerusalem, because he knew it was the 10th of Nisan. And on the 10th of Nisan, the lamb has to be presented. But they don't know that 4 days later they have to arrest him. But 4 days later, Judas, and they arrest Jesus, and a mock trial, all full of lies. And by twilight of the 14th, Jesus Christ is on the cross, dead, and he dies on the 14th. But he told them every. The Son of Man will be in the grave for 3 days, and on the third day he will rise. The only sign you're going to be is like Jonah. I'll be in the belly of the whale for 3 days, but on 3 days I'm going to... So, 15th, 16th, 17th, and there's Jesus. Back on the land, walking around, talking, everything, completely resurrected on the 17th. So, Genesis... prophecy in Genesis chapter 8 concerning the ark being on dry land and reversing the curse all worked out the same exact same day. Okay, so God is telling you this. Listen, I am going to show you. This is last night with me and the Lord. I told you the beginning of what I was going to do first. I told you how I'm going to rescue the church, because the eight on the boat with Noah does not represent Israel. The eight on the boat with Noah represents Jesus Christ and the seven churches. Because those that get rescued by faith, not by the law. Okay? So therefore, the whole thing about the ark is about the rescue of the church. So when is God going to fulfill the next prophecy? And what is the next prophecy? The next prophecy is the end. But when is the end? The eighth month. But it wouldn't have been the eighth month unless God changed the calendar around. You understand? So God ends this whole thing in the 8,000th year, right? Jesus resurrects from the ground when? When did Jesus Christ resurrect? Because, you know, we can read 100 different times, Mary Magdalene or Mary, and they went to the tomb early on the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Yom Rishon, which is Sunday. So on the first day of the week, they go down and they're looking for Christ, and Christ is resurrected on Sunday morning, which the Bible says is what we call the first day. But if you go from Sunday to Sunday, you go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is 7 days. Next day is Sunday again, right? That's the eighth day. So the eighth day is when Jesus resurrected out of the ground. This is why I keep trying to tell people God created Adam, the Adam in the garden, on the eighth day, because he wanted to create him out of the ground to talk about Jesus later coming out of the ground on the eighth day. Because everything about the resurrection is going to be when? In the eighth day. and everything about the plan of the end is going to be now, God says, flip that calendar around and make Heshvan the eighth month, because I'm talking about the flood, and I'm talking about rescuing eight, and I'm talking about what? The rescue of the church. Now,
15 minutes.
Hallelujah. If you have this page, go over to this page.
Is that the last one?
I think it's, yep, it is the last page. Okay. And it says, on this very day, this is what Genesis chapter 7, verse 13 says. On this very day, Noah, I put one right there, and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, that's four. Noah's wife, that's five. And the three wives of his son, that's six, seven, and eight. So all together on the boat is how many?
Eight
people. Now watch, let's get to the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia. Ephesus 1, Smyrna 2, Pergamos 3, Thyatira 4, Sardis 5, Philadelphia 6, and Laodicea 8. Then who's the, and Laodicea the 7th. So who is the 8th? Jesus. Because what does Noah mean? Rest. But Noah backwards means what? Grace. Who's going to give us rest and who's going to give us grace? And who blows the trumpet and say, come in here? Jesus. Noah is the one that said, okay, the Lord just told me, let's go into the ark. And so the seven went into the ark with the guy they call grace and rest. And so you got eight being rescued here. And now he's saying, give this message to the seven churches. But then we get to Revelation chapter 4. Let's go there. The Lord wanted me to explain one thing before I continue on. God just can't rescue on the 17th of Heshvan any year. He already told you how he's going to do the end. What is he going to do? I'm going to count off 120 years. And when the 120 years is count off that I said, when the 120 years is over, then I will be the one to bring the judgment. You understand? So that means if God started counting, we would know that God started counting at a specific time. When did God start counting the 120 years? 1901. Did he mark when he was going to start counting those years? We're going to look at it tomorrow. So God started counting every year in the book of Psalms. And he started telling you what's going to happen in 1901, what's going to happen in 1902, what's going to happen in 1903, what's going to happen in 1904, what's going to happen in 1905. And he just continues the book of Psalms until you get to Psalms 120, and you get there and you're shocked because it says, wait a minute, Psalms 120 says this is the psalm of ascending up. And I think the boat ascended up. And so the prophecy is about the church ascending up on a year that God counts off 120.
Yes.
And here we are in the 120th year, and the seven churches need to be rescued because a flood is coming. Yes. And we see the beginning of the flood. Okay, you're in Revelation chapter 4. Okay. And so in Revelation chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. After what? After the seven churches. When he says this, this is a prophecy about the 120th year, because the boat is about to go up. How do I know? Because I get over to Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, and it says, from the throne were flashes and lightnings and rumblings of pearls, and before the throne were seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Where does the Spirit of God now live? In the church. Who takes the Spirit? Who takes the church back to heaven? The Holy Spirit. Okay? So these seven lamps are now in heaven. In chapter 1 of Revelation, it says, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, the seven golden lampstands, is this. The seven stars are the angels, and the seven churches are the seven lampstands. So there you have. How many now that can say they're a part of the same family? How many are on that trip going up that can say we're all a part of the same family? Because Noah was the father of that family. He was related to all of them. Will anybody get raptured who's not related to Jesus?
No.
So Jesus is bringing up, is at the door, and he's calling his seven family members up, the seven churches, and now we're going to be with the Lord. But the Lord said, I prophesied the end in the beginning. That's why I flipped the calendar upside down to make Heshvan the eighth month, because in the anniversary of the eighth month and the 17th of Heshvan, you're going to see the same thing, but not until I count off 120. And the Lord counted off 120. And we're here. What's the purpose of calling the 120th psalm the psalm of Mi'alah, or the psalm of going up, the psalm of ascending up? Why would you wait until the 120? There's no other psalm before 120 that God calls it the psalm of ascent. He waits till the 120th to say it's a psalm of ascent. Okay. And now with the 5 minutes that the Lord has given me here, or Pastor Ben's given me here, the Lord says, now, on top of all that, if you look at your, if you're looking at your notes here, on top of all that, 120, and I take out the Vav, because it's really 120. We say 120, or when they write it, they say 120, but and has nothing to do with it. But the Vav that you take out when you write 120, once you take the Vav out, the numerical value of 120 is 666. And what is the Vav mean? Salvation, complete salvation. So after salvation is taking out, 666 is coming into the world. But he already planned it. You understand? We've been jumping around going, is it this day? Is it that day? Is it that? God said, I planned it from the beginning. I planned the exit. I planned the beginning of salvation. And I planned the end and the rescue. You just didn't know when I was going to start the 120 years. But now that you're at the 120th year, and the months have been turned around, and I finished everything in the eighth, so why would I finish anything in the fourth month or the fifth month? My thing is to finish everything in the eighth. So I made Heshvan the eighth month of the year, which is November 4th. Mm. November 4th is Heshvan, is the 17th of Heshvan. So people, what if we're off a day? November 4th is the 17th of Heshvan, okay? So, as born-again believers and members of Jesus' family, we know that there's a boat sitting on this earth, and it's called Jesus. And we know that he's the only door to salvation. And we know when it's time to get on the boat, we get on the boat and we stay on the boat. Okay? And because we know that at a certain time in history, God has planned the end from the beginning. The word in. It doesn't just say I planned. It says the latter days. Listen to what this word says. It says, where is it? Oh, here it is. Acharet. Acharet was like Dor HaAcharon in the last generation or in the latter days, whenever he's talking about all the things that are going to happen to Israel in 1948, 1967, 1917. He always speaks of it as in the Dor HaAcharon, where he uses the word, the root word of this is the latter times, the prophetic future time of the end. And so God prophesied to prophetic future time of the end when he marked the day of the beginning of the flood. Why did God mark the day of the beginning of the flood? Do you think he just said, oh, let's just do it on this day? But the spirit of the word of God is what? Prophecy. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. The spirit of the word of God is prophecy. I'm only telling you this to tell you that. And so now we're what? Maybe 36 days from, it's like election day is what, the 3rd? Yeah. And the 17th of Heshvan is the 4th. And who sent me? Did you send me that thing, Pastor Ben? Where they said they were planning this big attack because they know that Trump's going to win again, and they got to make sure something horrible happens in the earth. And they said it's going to happen in 37 days. And I'm like, oh, they're planning.
Somebody sent it to me.
Yeah. Somebody's planning this big attack on because they want this all this commotion and this war to be going on because they can't have Trump back in there. So now they're going to try to make this big commotion come up so that they can disrupt the whole world, and then Nancy Pelosi becomes president, you know?
I heard that today.
So it's, let me
I
tell
heard
you.
That today.
Let me tell you something. If you ever take a child's favorite toy away, You see how they act?
Yeah.
This is what these demons are doing. They've taken child pedophilia away from them. They've taken all of this stuff away from them, and they're just acting out. Now, we don't think about it, but how many fires were on fire at the same time? Do you know why all this stuff was going on up north and in Oregon and all these fires? Also, Australia, most of Australia was on fire as well. While all these tornadoes are happening back to back, back to back, and nobody says, they have the technology to do this. Why are these people acting up and trying to disrupt the whole world? Why does an Antifa member have a debit card with Antifa on it? Why would an Antifa member have a debit card so that they can be financed while they're doing this thing of causing these riots? So they're paying for all of this mess to go on because they really want this person out of the office because he has different plans from what they have. And no matter how much you hate Trump, you don't hate them as much as the media, as much as Hollywood, as much as these people really, if they could kill Trump tomorrow, they would kill him. If he dropped dead, they would probably throw a big party, okay? So understand, when I say I'm thankful that God put somebody in the way, because as Trump said, they don't really want me. I'm just in the way. They're after you.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
And so, rather he's a Christian or not, he's a good bullet shield, right? So God said, I'm going to put this person in the way and slow all this down. Because remember, North Korea, we're already supposed to be in a nuclear war. That was already supposed to have happened. And the pandemic was already planned because Fauci gave a speech about it in 2017. He says there's going to be a surprise outbreak during Trump's reign. I'm like, how did you know that in 2017? You're at Georgetown University talking about a surprise pandemic that's going to come during Trump's reign. So all of this you're seeing is a spiritual war going on, but our Father in heaven is like, don't worry, I got it covered. It's been planned since the beginning. I planned the end before the beginning, okay? Before I told you about your salvation, I told you how it was going to end. And so the 17th of Heshvan is upon us, and let's be prepared to go. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Debit card?
Yeah, they have debit cards. All these little kids running around burning stuff up, staying in hotels with debit cards.
From Antifa.
From Antifa. And where they're getting all these millions of dollars? George Soros, Rockefeller families, all this stuff.
Oh, my goodness.